Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Stand by. Well, it's an awful Monday. I'm looking in the Bible where I can explain what's happening to me here. The five grandkids have been sick for days and days, and it's kind of sliding by there. Until yesterday, I was hoping this would all go away, but a night of little sleep, sore throat, and I think laryngitis may catch us before the end of this program. I'm always at least hinting toward God what is the best thing for me, and he just doesn't listen to me. I'm going to start searching the Bible where this terrible situation I find myself in today is found. Probably my life verse, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God, to the called according to his purpose. Yeah, God's got a plan. Every area. Makes no mistakes. Yeah, he's got it together. I'm the problem, usually. Pray for us, my friend. 25 minutes of this, huh? We're going to give her a go anyway and pray everything works out. Thanks for being here today. God bless. Trust you had a great day at church yesterday. You're living the message you heard from the pulpit yesterday. You're working all that out, too. God bless you. Thanks for being here. What in the world went on? The Democrats, responsible for keeping public schools closed during the COVID-19 pandemic, have faced zero repercussions more than 2 years after those lockdowns that left millions of kids behind and in a crisis and many committing suicide. School closures in the United States have had a devastating impact on children's mental health, their development, and future earnings. According to data released last month by the National Center for Education and their statistics, 70% of U.S. public schools have reported an increase in students seeking mental health services. 70%. That's since the start of the pandemic. That study, published by a conservative think tank Just Facts, reported that the mental stressors brought about by school closures will destroy 7 times more years of life than the lockdowns ever could have. Isn't that something? Meanwhile, Senator Tom Cotton there from Arkansas called out Democratic governors on the Ingram angle last week for continuing to implement school lockdowns after there was data suggesting children were being harmed developmentally and academically. Cotton said in the spring of 2020, we were saying that we had to get our schools open again, and that's exactly what we did in states like Arkansas in the fall of 2020. We had kids in classes 5 days a week. A lot of other states did as well, but all those Democratic-run states and school districts kept their schools closed and did a great job of cataloging all the misery and pain that we have inflicted on our children today. Isn't that something? Do you remember months and months ago when I said somehow the pandemic would develop into all kinds of things and would never end? You know, what if I got monkeypox today? We failed to get on top of the monkeypox outbreak, and we may have missed the chance to stop this disease from becoming endemic, a permanent threat to the United States. There you go. Monkeypox is spreading fast over the entire world, especially in this country and Europe, with cases doubling every 2 weeks or so. Growing risk now, monkeypox will become a permanent problem in countries where before outbreaks were very rare and very small. The pox is, in other words, close to becoming endemic in a lot of new places in the world. Monkeypox will be on your mind in the years ahead. Good grief, Charlie Brown. And this goes along with all of that. Stories abounding now. That's a good word. Abounding. About healthy people, including athletes, suddenly dying or suffering some severe illness without any explanation whatsoever. Many who have posted links to the reports on social media have suggested a possible relationship to the experimental COVID vaccines that were out there. When 4 practicing physicians in the Greater Toronto area died unexpectedly in the last 2 weeks, their hospitals made a point of insisting their deaths not related at all to the vaccines. A 5th area physician, 27 years old, died last Thursday after collapsing during a triathlon. Now a National survey by Zogby has found 17% of adults who received at least two doses of COVID say they were diagnosed with a new condition within weeks to several months after getting their shots. That figure was 15% for those who had received at least one shot. The respondents also were asked if someone they personally knew had been diagnosed with some new medical condition. Overall, 26% said yes. Isn't that something? Why, that's a good question. Fancy Mancy Nancy, the U.S. House Speaker, expected to go to Taiwan as part of her tour of Asia, according to a senior Taiwanese government official and a U.S. official as well, despite warnings from the Biden administration officials who are worried about China's response for such a high-profile visit. And the question again, why? Who cares what Nancy Pelosi is doing and why she's going to China? And the stop, the first for a U.S. House Speaker in 25 years, is not currently on Pelosi's public itinerary and comes at a time when U.S.-China relations are very low. One official there in Taiwan said she's expected to stay there overnight. Unclear when she will land and when she really will leave. Oh, boy. Well, having been in front of a microphone or a television camera most of my life, I'm embarrassed for her. When White House reporters have recently convened in the James S. Brady press briefing room, it's been likely that Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre has had a second person standing by her side fielding questions. She's been criticized for a variety of things during her brief time in the first few months at the podium, as her unforced stumbles and tendency to stick to the binder have put her under the microscope. But one thing she can't be panned over is her unbridled willingness to share the spotlight. Since the start of her tenure in May through the end of last week, Jean-Pierre has conducted 38 press briefings and gaggles and goofs with reporters. Of those times, she fielded questions, 25 of them, or about 66%, came with at least a second person joining her at the microphone to help her out. Well, here's a wild suggestion. I wonder how Herbert would look at this. A senior editor at The Federalist is delivering a harsh verdict for the FBI after confirmation appeared this week that it had falsely labeled verified information against Hunter Biden as disinformation during the 2020 campaign. That means, according to John Daniel Davidson, writing at The Federalist paper, that the Bureau has now directly interfered in two straight presidential elections, placing a heavy hand on the scales to benefit the demons, or the Democrats, I mean, in 2016 and 2020, all in hopes of keeping Donald Trump out of the White House. It would not be too much to say the FBI is a threat to the democracy of America and that it should be disbanded, done away with. He cited information from U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa, who for months has been investigating various Washington deep state components and their actions against the nation. Grassley revealed numerous high credible whistleblowers have come forward about a scheme in place among certain FBI officials to undermine derogatory information connected to Hunter Biden and Daddy by falsely suggesting it was all disinformation. It's the new America flood of evil. Well, part of my message yesterday, I told the church that you Christians have a huge target on your back. Look at this. A state judge in Wisconsin has ruled that the Department of Corrections broke the law. Department of Corrections broke the law when it decided to give lawyers and bureaucrats and reporters and dog trainers access to inmates during the pandemic, but refused to provide any procedure for pastors or clergy of any kind to visit. The Wisconsin Institute of Law and Liberty cited the summary judgment from Jefferson County that found that state officials there violated the law and the Wisconsin Constitution with these restrictions. He granted the plaintiff's request for a summary judgment, a declaratory judgment and a permanent injunction against the correction agency. The good guys and the bad guys. That's often the case. The organization had acted on behalf of the Archdiocese of Milwaukee in bringing this case over clergy, pastors, and their access to prisoners. Denied, but let the dogs in. Yeah, Christians, you know it's true. Huge target on your back. All of these people, all of these organizations led by Satan and his demons trying to stamp out any vestige of Christianity in America any way they possibly can, when in reality, just like in the prison, God, the Bible, Christians, the only thing that will turn things around. Let's stop them from getting in. Tell me that is not demonic. Of course it is. And now, living in today's world, the night the Titanic sank, it was 1912, was actually on what, April the 14th, 1,528 people went into the frigid waters. John Harper, after putting his only daughter on a lifeboat, was seen swimming frantically to people in the water. Why? He was leading them to Jesus Christ before hypothermia became fatal to them. The Reverend Harper swam to one young man who climbed up on a piece of debris. Harper asked him between breaths, "Are you saved?" The young man replied that he was not. Harper then shared several verses from the Bible with him and tried to lead him to Jesus, only to have the young man, who was in near shock, say no to him. Wow. Harper then took his own life jacket and threw it to the man and said, "Here then, you're going to need this more than I do," and swam away talking to other people. A few minutes later, Harper swam back to the young man and succeeded this time in leading him to the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation, hallelujah. Of the 1,528 people that went into the water that night, six were rescued by lifeboats. One of them was this young man hanging to the debris. 4 years later, at a survivor's meeting, this young man stood up and, in tears streaming down his face, recounted how John Harper had led him to Jesus. Harper had tried to swim back to help other people, yet because of the intense cold, he had grown too weak to swim at all. His last words before going under the frigid waters were, "Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved." Does Hollywood, have you ever heard of this man? Do they remember him? No, no, no. Oh, well, it doesn't matter, does it? This servant of God did what he had to do. While other people were trying to buy their way onto lifeboats and were selfishly trying to save their own lives, Pastor John Harper gave up his life so that others could be saved. John Harper absolutely knew what it meant to live this life with a great deal of urgency. That is one incredible story, any way you look at it or hear it. Finally, who said that? In case you don't know, karma, that's not of God. Praying to the universe, that's not of God. Feeling someone's energy, give me a break, that's not of God. Having positive vibes, that's not of God. Wishing someone good luck, not of God. Mother Nature, you hear so much about, that's not of God. Mixing the Bible with New Age religion won't get you to heaven. Jesus Christ, the only way, the only truth, the only life. No man gets to the Father, no man gets to heaven, but by Jesus Christ. Stop it. Stop mixing worldly garbage in with the Word of God. Worldly garbage in, worldly garbage out. Stop it. Where's my Bible? Life 101 is next. Well, my friend, appreciate you bearing with us today. Ah, this throat is so sore. I can do it another few minutes here. Pray God gives us a great day. I've got one meeting after another nonstop today. God is so good. He's not going to put more on you than you can bear, my friend. That's true of all of us. We have been through the mill at the Patton household in the last 6 months. Unbelievable things happening. Enemy is not happy with Greg Patton Ministries and the work we're doing with Southwest Radio Church, book writing, this radio show, the message, the counseling, any of it. Satan is after you. Be strong in the Lord. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, put on that whole armor. Let's go to war, my friend, today. Let me ask you today, do you feel pretty safe in your Christianity? How are you doing in the area of temptation? Were you tempted recently? You do know that all temptation is ultimately from Satan, right? Whose goal is to alienate you from Almighty God and disrupt any fellowship that you have with Him. All of us face temptation every day. If you have, as the experts say, 25 to 100,000 thoughts a day, did you bring them all under the authority of Jesus Christ? Did you really? Just as we all have different strengths, different interests in life, and different weaknesses, we also have different areas of temptation. Some could be enticed to be lying today, stealing something today, gambling today. Others are lured into drinking today, smoking today, some form of immorality. And those things ensnare a person. It has no effect on the guy next to you. When people have difficulty resisting sin, many decide, hey, that's it. That's just the way I am. Don't fall for that garbage. They give themselves over to temptation. It's a decision, a choice they make. Some individuals, after repeatedly yielding to sin, cease to recognize a specific situation in their life. Instead, they justify the behavior as, that's just the way they live. All temptation ultimately comes from Satan, the enemy. He wants to stop your relationship with God. He wants to remove you from God's will in order to stop you from worshiping and serving and glorifying God. In that way, he attempts to destroy your witness for Jesus. The scriptures use Israel's history as a warning about the perils of temptation for you and me today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, read the first 12 verses. Here Paul relates that despite God's abundant blessing, the nation nevertheless chose the wrong way, behaving immorally, practicing idolatry, grumbling about the Lord's gifts. The Israelites were tempted and they yielded. Sure they did. In fact, that nation's entire history was one reoccurring cycle of, I'm going to be obedient, I'm not. I'm blessed, I'm tempted, I'm in rebellion, I need chastisement, on, up and down and all around. What a merry-go-round. That is the way it happens with so many today as well, repeatedly falling into the same old temptations until finally concluding, gee, I tried, but I just can't do any better. They reason that God tempted me, the devil tempted me, or life isn't fair. The pressure was just more than I could bear, and yes, indeed, I succumbed. Really, all temptation is based on fantasy of the mind. That is our imagination of life under some different circumstances. If I win the lottery and have money galore, everything's going to be right. If I had good health, if I had a wonderful godly spouse, and, oh, you could make a book of your own list of things. It starts with the thought, however. That's important. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. However, simply thinking about something doesn't automatically mean that you have sinned. As you linger on the thought process there, your imagination begins to take over. I wonder how it would be to have this or to try that, to have a different relationship, maybe a different spouse. I wonder what it would be like if I had a different coworker. I wonder what it would be like if I could have a little more fun in life. Are you following me so far? And as you imagine what that experience might be like, you begin to want it, to desire it. then the desire grows and grows, and it's not long before you're actually in it. At that point, you have to choose. You either turn away from temptation, or you consent your flesh, which longs to be gratified with the things beyond divinely set boundaries. You messed up. If you've never trusted Jesus as Savior, your only defense is whatever human resistance you can muster up. And let me assure you, that ain't going to take long. From 1 Corinthians 10:13, we can identify other characteristics of enticement. First of all, temptations are common. God created us with legitimate needs and desires, and that will encompass everything we must have, plus much of what we want. He intended for our yearnings there to be met, however, with certain parameters, beyond which those things, he knows, are very destructive and certainly unhealthy for you and me. That's why God sets limits out there, not to prevent us from having fun or enjoying life, but to protect us. Sure, temptation is an enticement to go beyond the boundaries of God. He set those things up for our natural, divinely bestowed desires in this old world. When you and I exceed the limits, we sin. He certainly gave us an appetite for food as an example, right? Otherwise, we'd not be able to live, exist. But if we go beyond the boundary of self-control, we overeat, we become gluttonous. In a similar way, sex, that's a gift from God, but when indulged in an unhealthy extreme, it's a sin. Our freedom, don't ever forget this, stops where he has placed limitations to keep us safe from the enemy. Satan tempts you today, my friend, to worship the things of the world instead of the things of God. We'll talk more on this tomorrow and encourage you, I hope, in how do I win? How do I deal with temptation? I got some thoughts for you, my friend. You know, every day you need to read your Bible. Oh, that's such a blessing, such a help, such a need. Then you need to pray, and especially pray for others, not so much selfishly, but you know people all around you. You could pray for hours, I'm sure. And then you need to serve. God has you here for it. Yeah, you need to occupy till he comes. That's what the scripture says. Part of that is helping others in and out of the local church. Are you doing that? And then you need to be around other Christians. I would fall every day were it not for others encouraging me. And I tell the church every Sunday, I need them desperately. All those people sitting out there listening to me, I need them. And then I need to be in that good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. Not an entertainment center. I need to be where God is lifted up, where God is worshiped. And I need to hear the truth of the Word of God, no matter how tough that is sometimes. Yep. All a part of living in today's world, isn't it? I pray that you can do it today, that you lean upon him, the author and the finisher of your faith, and see great victory in Jesus. And finally, been grocery shopping recently. One of you sent this to me in that sausage department. Here's what's called vegetarian ham. It's chicken flavored. I have no idea what that's supposed to be. And let's be brutally honest. Are you one of those where you look directly at someone, nod when they're talking, every now and then throw in a yeah, and still not hear a single word those people said? My hand is up. I'm sorry. You've been listening to Hello World. I'm Greg Patton. Join me on Facebook. Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-N. Go to my page here last year's programs if you want. That's gregpatton.com. Until tomorrow, hopefully a better one. Have a great day.